Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Can you imagine having the Ark of the Covenant in the back room?
Yeah. Everybody better be on their best behavior.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking. I come to my front door. Have my thoughts been pure today?
Maybe I'll come back.
Your kids, they get out of line. Go stand next to the Ark of the Covenant door.
Yeah.
No, Dad, no. Uh-huh. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the Ark of God." So David went and brought it up. I want these blessings. And you know, Meg, God probably did that just to show David, you know, don't be afraid. You know, so David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so, when they that bare the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. That's all he was wearing, the little linen skirt. David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. He made it a big parade to God. And as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. I can't believe the king is acting like a fool in the street. But he was out there worshiping God.
Yeah.
Don't ever criticize anyone for the way they worship God. You know not what their father has told them. He may be your father too, but he may be very different with you. Yep. He is no respecter of persons. He is only a respecter of the heart. And if somebody jumps up and down and acts a fool in your mind, he may be worshiping God with all his might, and you dare not say anything about it. So, but she did, and they brought it in the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it, and David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to every one a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, every one to his house. And David returned to bless his household. And Micah, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself." You out there acting a fool, young man.
Yeah.
You're my husband. You're the king of Israel, and you just made a big fool of yourself. And David said unto Michal, It was before the Lord which chose me before thy father, and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus. You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to worship God in every fashion possible, and will be base in mine own sight, and of the handmaidens and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. You're the only one that said anything about this woman.
Yeah.
There we go. God was very displeased. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children unto the day of her death. We discussed this yesterday, I do believe, how sin brings about physical ailments and also the inability to have children. It's very documented in this book. So, chapter 7, WVFF 97.7, Between the Lines with David and Jonathan. Book of 2 Samuel. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, Do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. David wants to build God a house, and God is willing at this moment. It came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Rebuild ye not me a house of cedar. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheep goat, from the following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel, and I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. God saying to Nathan, Tell David he is my most favorite person in the world. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them. They may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people of Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. So he's telling David, your kingdom, you will have a long kingdom, and your son will take over from you. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men. Christian, look at that one very closely. Mm-hmm. If you belong to God, you sin, Pentecostal, you're not going to hell. God will chasten you, sometimes through the use of other people. It's not always a spiritual chastening. He will put the rod to your back, as Paul said, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And it's a good thing that Solomon was promised that to David right here, because Solomon gets pretty dicey in his last days. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. And he's speaking of Jesus Christ at this moment. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so do Nathan speak unto David. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? There we go, David communing with God himself now. And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thine servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? You're telling me that my family line will be forever? How can a man have such a thing? For thy word's sake, according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for the people to himself, to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy hand before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods? For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever. Thou, Lord, art become their God. And this is a good chapter here to teach you how to pray. You don't get on your knees and say, Lord, I need a new car. A Cadillac would be nice. Or, you know, even one of them high-end Toyotas. No, you tell God, thank you for everything that you've done for me. Mm-hmm. And bring up specific things that he has done for you. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. You know, all the blessings that you've bestowed upon me. You don't have to ask for what you need. If you worship God like David is doing here, he knows the needs that you have, and he wants to give you the joys of your heart, providing your heart is following after him. If your heart is not following after him, you can forget about the joys of your heart. He may still give you the things that you need, but the joys are off the table. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. Let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. Now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true. Thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessings let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. So basically he thanked God for everything he had ever done, and then he thanked him for the things that he just told him that he would do. Never asked for anything there, but reiterated everything that God said he would do. Chapter 8, Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. Learning how to pray in 2 Samuel. And after this, it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them. And David took Methegimah out of the hands of the Philistines. And he smote Moab and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground. Even with two lines measured he to put to death, and with one full line to keep alive. And so the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts. So he whomped up on their army, and then he put them in two lines, and he said, kill this side, keep this side. You know, God had originally said, get them all out of the land, but they didn't do it. So the Hebrews are all mingled now, so all bets are off. It no longer matters. But the only thing that matters is God preserving one Hebrew line. Because when it comes to Christ being born, I guarantee you there was but one pure line, because Satan's, the adversary's entire quest is to mingle all of Adam's line with his line. Because if he does that, a savior cannot come forward.
This is almost like a foreshadowing of whenever he does come back and he has the sheep and the goats.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. David also smote Hadarezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to recover his border at the river Euphrates. David took from him 1,000 chariots, 700 horsemen, and 20,000 footmen. David hawked all the chariot horses, but reserved of them for 100 chariots. That there has always hurt my heart. But he couldn't just let them go. I guess he could have kept them, but he couldn't just let them go, because they would have been made horses of war by his enemies again. Why hawk them, David? That seemed awful harsh. And when the Syrians of Damascus came to secure Hadarezer, king of Zobah, David slew of the Syrians 22,000 men. It doesn't matter how many chariots and how many men they send forth, as long as God is with the king of Israel. And David put garrisons in Syria and Damascus, and Syrians became servants to David and brought gifts. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. So the nation of Israel is expanding. The entire portion of Syria now belongs to Israel, and David has soldiers there. And David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadarezer and brought them to Jerusalem. And from Betah and from Berothah, cities of Hadarezer king, King David took exceedingly much brass. When Toai, king of Hamath, heard that David had smitten all the host of Hadarezer, then Toai sent Joram, his son, unto King David to salute him. Man, this guy's wiping out everybody. get down there and make happy with him right now.
Yeah.
Do whatever you got to do. Make happy with him. And to bless him because he had fought against Hadadezer and smitten him. For Hadadezer had wars with Toai. And Joram brought with him vessels of silver and vessels of gold and vessels of brass, which also King David did dedicate unto the Lord with the silver and gold that he had dedicated of all nations, which he subdued, of Syria and of Moab and of the children of Ammon and of the Philistines and Amalek and of the spoil of Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zobah. And David gat him a name when he returned from smiting of the Syrians in the Valley of Salt, being 18,000 men. And he put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom put he garrisons, and all they of Edom became David's servants. Oh, look at that. You know, Esau's people are under the thumb. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice unto all his people. And Joab, the son of Zariah, was over the host. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. And Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, were the priest, and Seraiah was the scribe. Benaiah, the son of Jeradiah, was over both the Cherethites and the Pithalites, and David's sons were chief rulers. I tell you what, there are some days when these names just roll off my tongue. And there are other days when it is such a foreign language, my tongue doesn't even want to begin to pronounce them correctly. But I'm trying.
I know that feeling.
Chapter 9, book of 2 Samuel. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? You remember the promise, Jonathan? Saul asked David. He says, I know you're going to become king. This is one of them times that Saul's heart came back out. The true Saul, the man whose heart did try to follow God, who was never able to take control of the mind. God says, I put the spirit of man in the heart, and it's supposed to take care of the mind, which is contrary to the will of God, and subject the flesh. Saul could never get full control of the mind. But occasionally, after he had sinned horribly, his spirit man would take control. And at one of those times, he said, I know, David, I know, I've been trying to kill you, but I know you're going to be king. Just please don't forget my family. Don't cut them off. Don't kill all of them. Let my line continue, please. And David said, yes, he would. So now he's all settled into his kingdom. He's got all the enemies knocked down, sitting on his throne. He says, you know what? Is there anyone left of Saul's family? And there was the house of Saul, a servant whose name was Ziba. When they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he says, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I might show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. The king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lebadar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Got it right that time. Lodibar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. He didn't say, I will show thee kindness for Saul's sake, although he was the one that David had promised this to, because David and Jonathan had a really tight relationship. He says, I will show you kindness for your father's sake. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I? Who am I that the king of Israel would bless me like this? And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and all to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servants, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Wow, what an honored position. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both feet. All right, 2 Samuel, if you've read this book a lot, is a little harder to read than 1 Samuel. It's a lot of grammatical changes from 1 Samuel, and it doesn't flow as easily as 1 Samuel, but there are a lot of laborious readings in this book, and you just got to get through them, because once you get through them, the whole story begins to come together. That's why you got to read this book over and over and over again. I've read it over 100 times in its entirety, in different places, hundreds of times, and I still find things every time I read through it. Read God's book. Basic information before leaving earth. Don't go home without it. Been with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.